I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is called. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
The service is being brought to you from the auditorium of the Princes Anne Plaza Baptist Church. This is our evening service with sermon on heaven and with the observance of the Lord's Supper. Join in with us now as we worship our Lord together in this service.
Under, and let us stand and sing the first and the last stanzas, please. Will you stand? Across the page to 483, and let's sing the first, second, and the last stanza.
Oh,
you be seated.
Boy, you were singing just great. Just great. In fact, you were singing it like you meant it.
Amen.
I missed that this morning. He was away. I think you had him down in Florida somewhere. But it's great to be here tonight, isn't it? And didn't Amen. God bless in our services this morning? I wonder tonight, as you feel the impact of the morning service, it's so good to be a Christian. How many of you are really ready, you're desiring, you're looking forward to going to heaven? Just raise your hand, say amen, and say amen.
Amen.
You know, God's children ought to be concerned about that. That's one of the greatest subjects I know anything about, is heaven. And I want Brother Oscar Lopez to come now, if you will, and to lead us in our prayer as we go into the rest of the service. Certainly to pray God's blessing. We thank him again for this morning. And we pray now that God will lead us and guide us tonight and bring forth many other decisions of those who still may not be ready for heaven. But if you're here tonight, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray with you that God will touch your heart. And Oscar, will you come now and lead us in our prayer?
You know, like the pastor says, if there's anyone here who's not ready for Jesus to come, I think that right now he ought to start preparing his heart for this service. And if he didn't make it this morning, you just got to make it tonight, because this morning was just a blessing. May we pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity tonight to gather here in thy house. We just know that the Holy Spirit has been with us all of this day, and we know that he is here now, blessing us and looking upon us so that we may bring someone else closer to thee. And of course, dear Lord, we wish that you would even bring all of us Christians a little closer to thee. Burden our hearts so that we may want to further thy ministry, that we may want to learn more about thee and be able to go out and witness for thee in our everyday life. And of course, dear Lord, in this service tonight, we just wish that if there's anyone here who is not saved, who does not know thee, that you would really have the Holy Spirit place a heavy burden upon their heart so that the pastor may say the right words that will bring this person to a saving knowledge of you, of your Son. And of course, dear Lord, we just wish tonight now that as we go into this service and as we go into this communion with thee, that you will just really look upon us, be with us, open our hearts, allow us to receive the Holy Spirit, to know of his presence, to feel the closeness of the Holy Spirit, so that we may move a little closer to thee. All these things we ask in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. You will notice in the bulletin the various announcements for this week, and I would say that we encourage all of our Sunday school workers to be present. We want to get behind our Sunday school work a little bit stronger now. We've been falling down in some places, and we hope that every director will be here and you'll have your teachers here. You know, God blessed us this morning in a wonderful way, and I want to share just a little bit with you about this. You know, I said something about the tape ministry, and after I had stood at the door and all the folks had gone and I finally made my way back to the office, there was a fellow down there came in waiting for me, and he had a tape recorder in his hand. And Brother Snyder had gone home, and he says, I have this tape recorder, and you know, I bought this to send messages to my wife on the last cruise, and I really don't have any use for it. And he brought it and gave it to me that we can use in the tape ministry. Isn't that great how God deals with people? And then, you know, I said this morning, when you went out the door, if you were not saved, then don't go out the door and smile at me and tell me how much you enjoyed that sermon, because I don't see how you could have gone out happy. Now, I share this with you that you'll join me in prayer for these who need God. A number of people went out, and they said, I'm one of these who cannot go out happy this morning. I'm going out sad because I need to make decisions. My heart's heavy. Things are not right. And
we want to pray for these. Pray that God will work through and work through what underbrush may be in there, keeping them as a barrier from making the decision to come on in with God and in His church that they should. And you join in the prayer tonight as through the singing and as the message is delivered, that God will work through all of this to lead in these decisions that are so important. And I've just been up on the cloud all afternoon, and it's just great. And you know, when we got up this morning, usually I'm the first one up. Isn't this right, Thelma? And I get the coffee on. And I bring her the first cup of coffee. But this morning it was Sunday, and she got up to put the roast on, so she put the coffee on. But first thing she said, "Well, the King is coming. Are you ready?" And that's the way we started off in our home this morning. I said, "Yes, I better get up here and get ready." And I started hustling around and sipping some coffee to wake up. And then before I left, the program came on TV, and I was about to go out the door, and I heard it coming on, and I had to go back and hear it. And this is what they sang. Whole choir and the whole works. And even one of the men on there was talking about this. And then when it got to church, well, we really got in the midst of it. And then when Mel lifted us up so beautiful there, and it just seems like we've just been living this all day about the King is coming. And now, Mel, I know nothing, no more joyous that we can sing than, boy, when we stand on Jordan's bank and look across to that great land.
Amen. Hymn number 479. Let us stand and sing the first, second, and last stanzas. This will be our offertory hymn. Heavenly Father, bless that which we are to give now, that it may be used for the forwarding of thy kingdom. Let us give with a cheerful heart, that we know it is being used for thy service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you.
While Helen's making her switch, let me say this, because I surely don't want to forget it. I believe it's next Sunday. It will be the last Sunday for Brother Peter and Melinda Grandchamp to be with us. Am I right on that? And we're certainly going to miss these beautiful offertories that they've been offering. It's just been great. And they've added so much to the service. So maybe even tonight you'll want to start expressing your appreciation. You know, Sam always has a way of shifting somebody out every now and then for a while. But I think maybe they're going to be coming back before too many months in the fall, I believe. So we'll certainly try to get along in the summer while you're gone. But I wanted to say that because I surely didn't want to forget it. To express my personal appreciation, and I know that you'll want to express yours. Now, I know you've all been looking forward to this time when our quartet will come. I've given them several names, and so I'm not going to give them a name tonight, but you bring them on.
Madeline, praise our Lord, the Lord.
For our scripture lesson, I will read now from the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation. And if you have your Bible, you may want to follow along. I express my own personal appreciation to the family. That word may not mean much to some of you, may not catch it all, but three of them are my own by blood, and the other one is my adopted son. And that adopted son's own mother and father here tonight, too. And we're happy to have them. But we've just sort of adopted them in the family, if you don't mind. We think that much of it. Thank you. Will you listen now as part of the revelation that was given to John while he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and yet not being fussy with God, not complaining, yet he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He was in a right spirit, even though there was suffering and persecution around, being abandoned to this island where other people had been abandoned. And this is part of the revelation that was given to him. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Will you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, oh, we thank thee again for the wonderful service this morning. And we will never forget that service. And even tonight as we come, we still feel that we are floating in the atmosphere of the second coming of our Lord. When we come now to talk about heaven and to join together as Christians around thy table, if the world lasts that long. O God, we thank thee for the word heaven, and be now with thy servant as he seeks to teach thy people about this wonderful place. Use him this evening, Father, is my prayer, that every lost person here will be able to leave this church building tonight and say, I'm saved. That no one will leave tonight who is not prepared for heaven. Oh, God, bless in this service and use all of it now to lead people into thy kingdom and also to strengthen the faith of the Christian, that they too will have a greater desire and that their lives will be lived in such a way that they will influence others as people who are living in preparation for heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord didn't come this afternoon, but who knows, he may come at the end of this service, or he may come while we're in the midst of it. And while we are waiting, we want to talk about the most blessed place we know anything about, this place called heaven. And here again, there are so many marvelous things to be said about heaven that
We have to curtail a lot of the discussion because time would not permit to go into every avenue that has to do with this. But a statement that I made this morning, this is not only one of the most pleasant subjects to talk about, but it's the greatest subject because this is what you and I are looking forward to. I am. I hope you are. If you're not, I sort of feel sorry for you. Now, if we're going to spend an eternity after we die, looking forward to going to a place where we will be without end, then I think you and I ought to be concerned about it. And I think we ought to be concerned about what's going to be there and how is it going to be. Now, first of all, I would want you to notice that according to the Bible, that heaven is a place that is upward and not downward. In Genesis 1:7, or in Genesis 17, rather, we read that God went up from Abraham. Even in the Old Testament, we get the glimpse that God is up. He's up above us. He's up in the heavens, even as the Jewish people looked upon him. And then in Acts 1, when Jesus was preparing to go back to the Father after his resurrection, that they stood there on Mount Olivet and they saw him go upward. They watched him as the clouds became the chariots for him to ride in. He was lifted up into the heavens. And then you remember that really it was a beautiful scene, yet it was a horrible scene. It was horrible in the fact of the suffering when Stephen was being put to death, when they were stoning him because he dared to stand up and preach about Jesus. And I'll tell you, that's a challenge for any deacon to follow, to be a man full of the Spirit and the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember when the rocks were being hurled on Stephen while he was in that pit, that he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, when you have time, you ought to go back and read that in Acts 7:15. And just meditate on it a while as to how it must have been when Stephen, with blood and bruises already on his face and already the puffiness from the rocks, and yet there with the stains and the tears, and he'd already prayed that these people be forgiven, and yet he looked up there in the midst of all of that suffering, and this is what he saw. I tell you, God has to be real. And Jesus is real. And heaven is real. And this is what he saw. Now, heaven is a beautiful place. And I suppose we could take up all night talking about the beauty of heaven. I just love to read in the Bible about all of the beauty of heaven. And there's not a thing in this world that even can come close to measure up to the beauty that we read in the Bible. We read about the streets being lined with gold, and this is transparent gold. The 12 gates, the 12 tribes of Israel out of pearls, and it speaks of all of the other precious stones that will line the city. I read where in New York, a man paid $2 million for a mansion, and it described all of its elaborateness in decoration and the many rooms, and yet with all of the costly chandeliers that it spoke of and all of the finery, the gold bathtub and etc., to poor old Lazarus in heaven, this would seem like a shanty, and he would be ashamed to live in it compared to what God has prepared in heaven. There's nothing that man can build in this world that will even compare to the beauty that our Lord has prepared for us. Now, how do we know this? Because Jesus told his disciples there in the 14th chapter of John, he says, in my Father's house. It was a personal thing. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. He's prepared this place. Human hand has not touched it. Human hand has nothing to do with the architectural drawings.
genius is the architect of this. I'm going to prepare a place. And he talks about it as a mansion. And we read in the scriptures that in heaven, even though the sun is so beautiful, and it would have looked nice today, wouldn't it? But when you went out, you saw some liquid sunshine. Well, that was beautiful, too, after the service we'd had. Yeah, I never worry about the rain. It's a God business, I think. If he wants to send the rain on Sunday, I smile and say, Lord, this is your day, this is your business. You send what you want to. You just use me the way I'm supposed to be used. That's the way we ought to look at it. And tomorrow, maybe the sun shines. If it's cloudy, that's all right, too. I'm alive, and that's great. That's great. But the Bible says when we get to heaven, the sun won't have any need to shine. We won't need the moon up there. The moon was beautiful last night. Did y'all see the moon last night, the stars? Maybe some of you young people didn't even get a chance to look at the moon. You were looking at something else. But I saw it. And it was beautiful. But you know, in heaven, even though the moon is so beautiful at night, and I know nothing than to be near the water, and some of you, all you servicemen have seen this, I'm sure. You boys have got your feet wet and got out there on the ship. I know nothing more beautiful in God's universe than to be out way out in the Pacific where he kept me most of the time in World War II. And when the sun slowly goes down, and boy, it looks like a big, massive fire as it goes down in the big Pacific Ocean. And then you stay up on deck a while and you wonder what's going to happen now. And then all of a sudden you see that big moon coming up. And I'll tell you, it's beautiful. You mean back for that, won't you? It's beautiful. And then you watch it glisten on the ocean when the water's calm, and the South Carolinians and North Carolinians say, calm. I say calm. And there's no ripples on the water, and it just glistens. Well, the Bible says when Jesus comes again and we get to heaven, that all the glistening and all the glory, all the radiance is going to come from him. That he's going to light up the entire city. And that's all we'll need. We won't need any extra lights whatsoever. We'll just have Jesus. He says we also will not need a temple there. That the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple in this glorious city. And we will gather to them. We won't have a special building as a meeting place. We come to him. We join him. We belong to him. And then we're told it's a place of peace, of happiness, and comfort. No more suffering. No more tears. I tell you, that'll be wonderful, won't it? Some weeks, I cannot help but go back and read this when I've had a week that is just constantly family problems of one kind or another, sickness, sorrow, tragedies in different families. And then you think, oh God, one day all of this will be gone. No more of this. None of you will have to have any more aches and pains then. The arthritis and what have you that is so painful for so many people today. All of this will be gone. You know, if you really want to get caught up in ecstasy and a real beautiful feeling, you ought to go back and read this. And when you come to that verse, when you come to that fourth verse of chapter 21, when God is going to wipe away all of this, and it'll be the most beautiful moments of meditation that you've spent in a long time, to think of a place that's going to be all peaceable and no more suffering, no more sorrow. It's hard for us to comprehend just what a place like that would be like. Because every day, all we see, suffering, problems, burdens, special needs, because this is what we're having to do here on earth. And this is why I can't understand why so many people cannot see that God has prepared something, oh, so much far better for us than what this world could ever offer. And we need to stand on Jordan's stormy banks and cast a wistful eye. And one day we're going to walk over and we're going to possess the land that God has given for us. And I think that if you're not ready for this place tonight, Then you ought to start praying that you'll get ready. Can you think of a place where there will be no more sin, no more suffering? I tell you, you can just elaborate with that in. Think of being in a place where there will be no more sin of any kind. There won't be any more gossip. There won't be any gossip in heaven. There won't be any sin of any kind in heaven. There won't be any hatred. There won't be any envy. There won't be any strife. There won't be any lying. There won't be any stealing. There won't be any backbiting. And you can just keep running. Now, heaven is prepared. And it's prepared for prepared people. God has two places fixed for people. His word is so plain about a place called heaven and then a place called hell. And you and I make our own choice. You either go to one or the other. And if you're not ready for heaven tonight, then you know where you're going. I don't have to tell you. But the Bible tells you that unless you have turned to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that you find the forgiveness from your sins in Him, then you are not prepared for heaven. Now, to me, the climax to getting to heaven, people have all sorts of notions of what they're going to do. But I'll tell you, the greatest thing I know to do when we get to heaven is just to sit there at the feet of the one for thousands of years, the one who said, I love you enough to die for you. That's what I want to do. I just want to see Jesus. I want to see Him in person. I want to see His eyes. I want to touch Him. If I can get close enough even to touch His feet, it'll make me happy. Just to see Him, just to touch Him. The one who says, I love you. I'll go to the cross and I'll die in your place on the cross. And to know that He took my place on Calvary. That He went through the horrors and the agony of sin itself for me. And I want to see Him. And then after a few thousand years, won't be any more years then, but if there were, then I would like to hear and see and touch these great men like Abraham. I want to see Abraham, don't you? I want to see Abraham. I want to see Isaac. I want to see Moses. Moses was a great man. Old Moses stood there over in the land of the wilderness and he looked over there on Jordan's bank. But because of sin, he was not able to lead the children of Israel across. And Joshua did that. But I'd like to hear Moses tell about going across the Red Sea and how God worked the miracle of opening up the sea. And then to hear Joshua talk about when they went over into Jordan, in that fair land of Canaan, and possessed the land when God opened up Jordan when she was overflowing her banks at that season of the year. And they all went over and possessed the land. And on and on and on when we come up there when Jesus was baptized, and to see John the Baptist and hear him talk, a man who would stand up before all of those people, even in the palace, and point his finger and say, because you're committing adultery and living with another man's wife, you're sinning. And it cost him his head, but he had the courage to do it. I'd like to see Stephen. See the man who could look up and see the glory of God in the face of death. And then see Paul, the man who was persecuted and whipped and thrown in jail and shipwrecked. And yet, he still said, I count it a joy to suffer for my Lord. It's a joy just to suffer for Him. Oh, I tell you, heaven is going to be great. And to hear Simon Peter talk about when he went out to the house of Cornelius. And there, when the church was taken to the Gentiles for the first time. And I'd like to hear old Jonah talk about when God had him trapped out there in the belly of the whale. And there he got on his knees and prayed, and God got his life straightened out. And boy, when he came out of that great fish, he really went on a hot foot to Nineveh then and preached the preaching that God wanted him to preach. Wouldn't you like to hear him talk about that?
Amen.
But I'll tell you right now, I'd like to hear old John, the Apostle John, who was an old man when this revelation came to him. They had taken him out of Ephesus and out of his homeland. He was an old man now, but because he was a Christian, they abandoned him on the Isle of Patmos in exile. And I'd like to hear him tell about when this wonderful revelation came to him. And I don't think John even knew he was being persecuted because he was so lifted up in the goodness and the love of God. Oh, I tell you, heaven's going to be great. And if you're not going, I feel sad for you. But I've just begun. Here's another thing we could talk about all night. Now, some of you said you wish I'd gone on 6 o'clock night, and I asked you if you'd stay. You said, yeah. I hope you meant it. I'm just liable to do that. You know, Paul preached one time, and he preached on up way in the night. And you remember that? And here's the old boy at Utica sitting up in the third-story window. And Paul was preaching so long, he, like some of you, went to sleep, and he fell out the window. But that didn't bother Paul. Boy, he went out there, and he gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, a few heart massages. He brought him back. They carried that young man back in the house. They fed him something. They ate a little bit, and Paul kept right on preaching. Now, that's the kind of service we ought to have today. You think you'd stay all night? I don't know. It'd be curious to try it sometime. Now then, that leads me into what I want to say about heaven. There's a lot of things I want to say about heaven. But this is the point I want to make clear tonight. I think this is a point we ought not to miss. Now, it's going to be great seeing all those great patriarchs and all those great apostles and disciples there. And to me, it's going to be one great testimony of what Jesus has done. The woman at the well, boy, what a testimony she's going to have. Mary Magdalene. All of these, I'd see old Zacchaeus skinning down his sycamore tree right now. And he said, Lord, I love you. I've cheated people, I've robbed from them, but come on, I'm going to take you home now and give you a big chicken dinner. That's what he did. Jesus went home. They criticized him for it. All of these stories will just pop into life because they're real. These are real people. But the greatest thing in heaven is that, now, a while ago, I was saying this in a joking way about us staying here all night. But you know what the Bible says? That we're going to worship God day and night. It will be a continuous worship service in heaven. And you know, I feel sorry for some of these folks that come to church. And when the preacher gets close to the sermon, boy, they start lifting their watch and they even wind it. Sometimes they'll be embarrassed. They'll shake the thing like this. And that's to give you the high sign. It's time to dovetail this thing in now. But you know in heaven, brother, you're not going to have to worry about meal time, because we're not going to worry about eating up in heaven. You're not going to have a fleshy body. You're not going to have to worry about getting up in the morning, because it's not going to be any night and day. It's going to be all one continuous day. All worship. And if you can't sing now, then you're going to have the voice of an angel when you get in heaven, because the Bible says we're going to be singing, we're going to be worshiping the Son day and night. Now then, I say to you Christians, you say you are Christians. Doesn't it hurt your conscience when you stay away from church? Doesn't it bother you when you have to stay away? You think about all the people tonight who have their names on the roll. If we had them all here tonight, we couldn't even get them in the building. We'd never get 1,350 people in this church. But we have that many on the road. Well, now, there's some of those who'd rather watch TV tonight than even worry about talking about heaven. And some of them might do worse things than that. And this is why I believe that a lot of people who talk about heaven are not going to heaven. Because heaven is prepared for prepared people. And if you're not prepared to spend some time in worship with God, then I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be out of place in heaven. You're going to be out of place if it bothers you to come to church very often. It will be one continuous worship service. And I'll tell you, it'll be great. Maybe the young people will be happy. They say they won't have to worry about that old preacher standing up there and calling them down for talking and chewing gum then. That'll all be over. We don't have to worry about those things then. It'll be wonderful in heaven. And I hope you're going. And if you're not, I hope you're going to get ready tonight. Because heaven is prepared. And another thing I want you to notice. Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. You know, it's really disheartening when you drive down the highway sometimes, especially in the summertime. You've been driving all day, and you do like some of us. You don't make a reservation. You just, well, I'm going to find a place down the road when I get sleepy. And you get there, and all you see is no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. That's the same thing they said to Mary and Joseph, no room in the inn. But Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I want to tell you tonight, there's room in heaven for all. For every Christian, God has prepared a place for us. Isn't that great?
Amen.
You don't have to worry about no vacancy signs up there.
Amen.
If you're a Christian and you know that you've been born again, then you know that in heaven, brother, there's a place for you.
Amen.
And this is great. You may have to worry about it here on earth, but you won't have to worry about it up there. Now you ask yourself, if Jesus were to come tonight and oh, praise his name, it would be so great for him to come at the close of this great day. Would you be ready for him? Would you say, Lord, oh, I just look forward to this all day. We've worshiped you. We've talked about it. And now to be a part of this glorious rapture, to be just caught right up, to be with you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I never did see my grandmother on my father's side. She was a wonderful Christian, and she died even while my earthly father was very small, and he too did not remember much about her. But one day we were talking about heaven, and Daddy says, you know, when my mother, whose name was Nevada, died, he said she was a wonderful Christian. And he says, they told me that in her last moments, she knew she was dying. But she sat right up in bed and held out her arms and said, Lord, I'm coming home.
Dear friend, are you ready tonight to meet Jesus and go with him into heaven?